the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
If you're watching us on video, I'm here.
It'll be an experience.
Our camera decided to freeze there.
They're freaking out. They know it's the end of the month. They want to get paid.
Apparently, I'm late with their bill, but it's modern technology, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing the best we can, so
that's okay.
Let's pray for it.
It is. Today's the feast day of St. Catherine of Siena, a beautiful saint, and we're going to offer up a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, hear our prayer, O St. Catherine of Siena, God, our Father, enkindled the flame of holy love in your heart as you meditated on the passion of Jesus' Son. Moved by His grace, you devoted your life to the poor and the sick, as well as to the peace and unity of the Church. We ask all this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We have a wonderful lineup for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. We cannot forget those because you are sending them to us and we are posting them on our website calendar, and we told you we would talk about it on Wake Up. That's at 10 after, so stay tuned. And you can find all of these events at our website. ccmedia.live is where you can go right now. In 18 minutes, Father Todd Lloyd will join Damian and David in the Baton Rouge studio. He's pastor over at Most Blessed Sacrament in Baton Rouge, and today we are talking about the Feast of St. Catherine of Siena, so we will learn a little bit more about our saint of the day today with Father Lloyd. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He is the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And on Monday, we talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Today we are talking about forgiveness, which is very hard to do sometimes, but necessary. So we will dive into this topic with Alan, and we're always learning something new with him. And in 48 minutes, Dr. David Whitten will be in our Baton Rouge studio today. He's a professor of theology over at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU, and we have a theology lesson we will dive into today. So we're looking forward to our wonderful guests. And Damian, we're looking forward to your weather report.
You're not going to be looking forward to this weather, I can assure you. You better batten down the hatches, folks, because we have some severe weather heading our way. It's about 4 hours away from the Baton Rouge area. It's already over the Lafayette area in Acadiana, and it's moving from west to east, and expect a lot of rain in a short period of time. It's going to be about 1 to 2 inches, to say the least. Could be flooding in some low-lying areas. Mm. High's only going to be 78, low 65. Winds won't be so bad. It's the rain and the downpour in the short period of time that we're more concerned with. Hopefully, with our fingers crossed, it'll clear out of the Baton Rouge area around 2 or 3. Of course, for the North Shore, New Orleans, and peoples toward the Gulf Coast toward the east, it'll get to you a little later and last a little longer throughout the day. Tomorrow we'll see partly cloudy skies. Maybe a stray shower will be lingering around. Let's give that about 10%. But the high is going to get back up into the 80s. 88 is going to be for our high. Temperatures in and around the area right now, everyone in the 70s. It's 74 in Bay St. Louis as well as New Orleans. 72 in Covington and Baton Rouge. And in over in Home and Thibodeau, it's a warm, comfortable 75. Okay, folks, it's 5 after the hour. Time to get up and get going. Another week to get started with. We have events, gospel, and its reflection coming up here on Wake Up.
Good Monday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and the gospel today comes from John chapter 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
There are two important statements that Jesus makes here which are relevant to our lives. First, notice the importance Jesus places on keeping the commandments, which he equates with love. He said, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me." Then, repeating the same idea for emphasis, he added, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." Keeping the commandments is the essential first step in living the Christian life. And so when the rich young man asked, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus replied, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments." In spite of Jesus' clear teaching, there are those who deny the necessity of keeping the commandments. They falsely claim that faith alone is necessary for our salvation. Then there's the tragedy of many Catholics who pick and choose the commandments they feel like keeping while disobeying others like divorce and remarriage, adultery, fornication, contraception, missing Mass on Sunday, just to name a few. It's far better to face our sinfulness and repent than to hear the awful words at the end of our life, "Depart from me." Jesus' second important statement centers on the promise of the Holy Spirit. "He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The dynamic outpouring of the Holy Spirit is evident on Pentecost, but he also inspired the books of the Bible, of which he is the principal author, and he protects the church, especially in the person of the Pope, from ever teaching error. In addition, the Holy Spirit opens up the Scriptures to our understanding and inflames our love with His powerful presence, thereby making us His living temple. And so, we should frequently pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Thank you, Father Chris Decker. And thank you all for tuning your heart to the truth here on Wake Up on this Monday morning. We have some events we'd like to share with you. Theology on Tap is flowing again in the Lake Area Young Adults of New Orleans, along with St. Dominic's, St. Pius X, and St. Benil. All the church parishes, those three are getting together for a great night of fellowship, food. And it's all going to be at Fat Boys Pizza in Old Metairie from 6:30 to 8. It's going to begin May 8th, a Wednesday night, and the meetings will follow on Wednesday, at least for the next two Wednesdays, May 15th and 22nd. For more information, go to nolacatholic.org.
And Father Paul Gross is going to be making a presentation on St. Therese of Lisieux, Saint of the Little Way, on Saturday, May 11th from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the Klein Peter Activity Center at St. George Parish. That is in Baton Rouge. You must register by May 8th, and to do that, just go to ccmedia.live and we'll point you in the right direction.
Yes, we will. Just like this next event, Lord Teach Me to Pray is now open for signups for their upcoming series focusing on the Christian virtues. The weekly meetings will begin May 16th and will take place Thursday evenings at 6:30 and is open to all women within the Diocese of Baton Rouge. For more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
There will be a presentation by Sarah Denny Lario entitled Authentic Woman's or Women's Healthcare, Learning the Truth About God's Design. Sarah is a doctor in bioethics, and the talk will be on Thursday, May 9th from 6:30 until 8 at Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church on Jefferson Highway here in Baton Rouge. The event is open to high school and young women and their moms. Go to ccmedia.live for more info. And we may be talking to Father Lloyd about that in a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. Sarah Denny Lario. She's married, so she has a new last name. She's sort of a family member here. She had a show and everything back in the day. You can join Lorraine Hess on a pilgrimage to Spain, Portugal, and France from October 7th through the 17th. You'll visit some of the most spiritual sites in the world, like Fatima, Avila, Loyola, Lourdes, and the beautiful city of Barcelona. There's a limited number of openings, so sign up today. And for more information about the trip and details, go to ccmedia.live.
Yes, well, St. Benilde is just continuing with the fun with a night at the races on Friday, May 10th in the school cafeteria. It will be a fun night to gather with friends as they gather for games. There will be a 50-50 raffle, food, drinks, and plenty of laughter as you watch the races. Doors open at 7 and the first race begins at 7:30. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
That's a tiny horse.
Oh, that's, yeah, that horn needs to be fixed. Good job, though, Damien.
Horn's kind of rough.
Anyway, where do they go for information?
ccmedia.live is where
they can go.
There
you go. All right.
Well, you kind of distracted us.
Well, I know. I had to throw in the sound effects whenever I can. So.
All right.
The Archdiocese of New Orleans, they're having the 15th annual diocesan-wide Supper in Substance. If you've never been, you're missing a lot. It's a fun time. Now, look, it's not until July 26th. It'll be from 6 to 8 at the Rockin' Bowl, where it's been for a while, on Carrollton Avenue in New Orleans. And tickets are available now, though. So now's a good time to get them because they usually sell out fast. There's an array of food on the menu. There's also open bar, from wine to draft beer, fountain drinks. You get the bowl and you get to have fun and fellowship, and there's going to be entertainment as well. So if you want more information, we're going to have all of it. I don't have time to read everything, it's at ccmedia.live.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
There'll be a musical rosary at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge on Tuesday, May 14th at 6 p.m. The Glorious Mystery will be performed by the youth and adult choir along with a brass quartet.
Wow.
All right. At St. George in Baton Rouge.
That's nice.
Nice.
15 after the hour. We're getting started. We hope you are too. We're coming back with Father Todd Lloyd from Most Blessed Sacrament Church here in Baton Rouge on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 29th. Today we celebrate Saint Catherine of Siena. From an early age, Catherine of Siena knew and spoke her mind. A bright, happy, imaginative child, Catherine liked to spend hours in prayer, alone in a room. At age 6, she reported a vision of Jesus. At 12, she told her parents she did not wish to marry. She briefly thought about becoming a nun, but instead chose to remain at home and immerse herself in Dominican spirituality. She devoted herself to the care of the sick during famines and plagues. Catherine also attracted disciples of her own who supported her calls for unity and repentance during a chaotic period of 14th century church history. Though she did not learn to write until later in life, Catherine was a powerful advocate for church reform. She met personally with Pope Gregory XI. His successor, Pope Urban VI, valued her advice and her tireless work for church unity. Catherine of Siena left behind nearly 400 letters. Her major work, The Dialogue, is considered a classic among spiritual writings. One of the first of two women to be named a doctor of the church, Catherine died in 1380 and was canonized in 1461. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 18 after the hour. And Damian Colado, along with Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and in studio now with us is Father Todd Lloyd. He is pastor at Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, here to elaborate a little bit more about St. Catherine of Siena and a number of other things that we may touch on before his segment is over with. Good morning, Padre.
Good morning, guys. Hey. Great to see you. Good morning. Good morning, Gabby. In the through
she's
the screen,
hey. Yeah, she's waving
at
you.
Yes.
There you go. She's with us, even though she's from afar.
Yes.
And
yes.
But glad to have you. First of all, before we jump into the topic of St. Catherine Siena, how did the battle for the paddle go?
Oh,
huge success! Huge success. We had great weather, as you guys probably saw.
Yep.
A lot of things going on in the diocese. Mercy had their fair, and St. John had theirs, and we had our battle for the paddle, and we couldn't ask for better weather on that Saturday. Started at 3 with 3,000 pounds of crawfish, and then before 5:30, before the 4:30 mass was out, we were out of those 3,000 pounds, so we had to go get another 1,000 pounds.
Did you?
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
and we did.
Great
yeah.
problem to have.
So, well,
wow.
goodness gracious, these people love to eat crawfish.
Yes, we do.
Well, that
it was great. It was
there
good time.
A winner determined? I'm not trying to put you on the spot,
yeah,
but
did.
You may
we,
know who that
we
was.
Had, yeah, we had three winners and a people's choice. The first prize was also the winners. The people's choice and the first prize were the same team.
Oh, wow.
It was the Momentum team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Four people on each team. So
yeah,
it was
that's
great.
Neat the way it was set up.
Yeah, 27 teams. It was a great. It was a great event.
So 4,000 pounds of crawfish you guys went through.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is great.
Wow.
That's a lot of people eating a lot of crawfish
and look,
quickly.
At the time, it ended at 7. You know, the band was packing up and. I was looking around, the people weren't leaving. I was like, oh, it's time to go home, people. There's no more crawfish and there's no more music. Y'all can
that's
go.
No, you're having too good a time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
Maybe. All right.
That's
well,
great.
With that, we're going to chat a little bit more about St. Catherine of Siena, even though
great.
We have our saint of the day. She's the patron saint of preachers
that's
as
right.
well as students.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
is she someone that you've looked upon?
I think a lot of priests probably have a special place in their heart for St. Catherine of Siena. She's a special saint who has been so critical to the history of the church and just also her spiritual writings. And I think she's a good intercessor for priests, especially particularly just to spread the gospel, spread the message, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about her, you know, just direct, especially today, nowadays, you know, sometimes young ladies need evidence in the church of ladies having a role in the church, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
mm-hmm.
Catherine Siena is one of those great examples. You can say, look what this young lady did.
Yeah. I mean, she was responsible for the reunification.
Yeah,
of
so
the Catholic
right
Church.
the Pope at the time, it was during the what we used to call the Babylonian exile of the papacy. The
right.
whenever the papacy was in France and Avignon, kind of under the thumb of the French crown, and through correspondence and prayer, she got the Pope to move back to Rome, which was important.
Mean,
you know,
yeah,
he was
Pope
still
Gregory
the Bishop of Rome, but he
the 11th.
He
yeah,
was
he was
a,
living
he was not in Rome though. You know,
kind of like Gabby.
Yeah, that's
she's
right.
here, but
yeah.
not here.
Yeah. That's right.
You
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
Hey, Gabby, there's potential.
St. Catherine's she's praying for you.
St. Gabriel coming up.
What a wonderful saint, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's just. We need, I think young girls need good women role models in the church.
Absolutely.
And there are so many saints to choose from, and St. Catherine is a great one to choose from
right.
as well.
And
yeah.
Not intimidated by anybody or anything, you know, she just went
yes.
for it,
well,
you know.
What I found interesting was she was looked upon for spiritual direction. By
that's right.
just whether it be the poor or the average citizen, as well as popes.
Yeah, it's funny. Her life started really simple. She's, I think, the 23rd of 25 children that her parents had. So that in
Ooh.
Itself is a miracle.
Wow.
It's a miracle.
Okay.
23rd of 25 of surviving children. And then she just wanted to be a simple young girl. She wanted to pray. She wanted to dedicate herself to the life of Christ. And she dedicated herself to virginity as a young girl. And then her parents tried to get her married, and she didn't want to get married. And she eventually won out because she was, you know, she knew what she was about.
Mm-hmm.
And then she became well known. Just people started flocking to her for her prayer, her intercession, and then her counsel as well, including even the Pope.
Yeah, exactly. At 16, she devoted herself to the Dominican order.
That's right.
Because she had a vision of St. Dominic.
That's right. She became a lay Dominican, and because the Blessed Mother and Jesus invited her to, and she saw and she spoke with St. Dominic, you know, and what was she going to say?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Right. and then later on in life, and when we say later on in life, she only lived for 33 years.
Yeah, she was so united to Jesus, I think we could say that she died at 33. Several saints like her died at 33 who were so uniquely united to Jesus.
I can't imagine.
Died at the age of Jesus, you know.
All that she did, and she died at that age.
Right.
That's amazing.
33 today is still a young person, she had accomplished more than some people in their long, long lives.
Absolutely. My goodness.
What would you say to someone, why would they want to develop a relationship with St. Catherine at this point in our world today?
Right.
One of the few female doctors of the church.
Right.
We all know she was very intelligent, very spiritual.
Yeah.
What kind of connection would one find?
I think that there's a lot that could be said, but for me, the most important thing, maybe I'm going to say twofold, is number one, is fidelity to the church and our role as just even lay people of praying for the Holy Father, mm-hmm. you know, and praying for him and being committed to the papacy and to the Petrine office. She showed that in a time whenever, and during her lifetime, there was a lot of division, a lot of people combating about who was even the Pope and whether they should follow the Pope.
Right.
And she remained committed while also challenged the Holy Father, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something for all of us in our time to remember and to look to as an example of fidelity while also prayer, you know, fidelity and prayer. And the second thing for me is all of those things are super important. But the most important thing, really, of course, about any saint, is their sanctity. It's not really the things that we remember about them. It's their relationship with Jesus. That's the thing that makes them a saint. And St. Catherine of Siena had incredible mystical experiences where she told us what she saw, what God revealed to her, her conversations with the Lord. And those are the things that I encourage people, if they are going to go and learn about St. Catherine of Siena, learn about the thing that makes her a saint. Mm-hmm. Learn about her relationship with Jesus, her prayer life, and desire to maybe not imitate it 100% because that was her unique vocation, but to try to take some of it on. And for me, the most beautiful image that I can think of a lot in my own prayer life, whenever I think of St. Catherine of Siena, is the image of the bridge. She had a vision of Jesus. God the Father showed her a rushing water, rushing river, and he said, "That's the road. That's the river to hell." And then there's a bridge over it, and Jesus is the bridge.
Hmm.
And there's three kinds of people that are clinging to the bridge: those who cling because of fear of what's below, those who cling to it because of the comfort of the bridge, and then those who cling to it because of their love for Jesus, their love for the bridge.
Mm.
And she says, of course, all three can go to heaven. God the Father told her, all three can go to heaven out of fear of falling in, out of just because it's comfortable and it feels good. But the best is to cling to it, not because it feels good, but because you love it, because you love Jesus.
Wow.
And so I use that image a lot just to express to people, you know, learn that from St. Catherine. Cling to Jesus, sure, because you fear hell. Sure, because it feels good. But most importantly, cling to Jesus because you love Jesus.
And we experience all three.
Yeah, that's right. Of course,
of our spiritual
we do.
Life,
we go through. We sometimes in a single day.
Yeah. She also had the gift of tears.
She did.
Share with us a little bit about that.
Something that Pope Francis has talked about too. He says it's to pray for the gift of tears. That gift of the ability to be really both number one mournful for sin, of our own sin, of the sin of the world, and just the effects that it has on the body of Christ, and also joyful, you know, tears can be both mourning and joyful tears.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And just having that kind of sense of awe and wonder. Something that Pope Benedict once wrote about was how beauty, authentic and real beauty, is a tiny glimmer of heaven, and it can make us sad. It can make us sorrowful because real beauty can remind us of what we're missing in heaven.
Yeah,
and it makes
us
sorrowful. And so I think that St. Catherine, who had these mystical experiences, she experienced that great gift of sorrow for what was lacking and for what was coming.
We hear mystic. We can, in 30 seconds,
yeah,
what
sure.
is a mystic? How do you keep that short and sweet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A mystic is someone who has experiences of the mystical, mm-hmm. of those things that are beyond this world.
Beyond this world. Yes. Okay. Well, we're almost beyond our time with you.
All right.
You know, we all, it goes so fast each and every time, but you did a great job sharing with us St. Catherine Siena and her background in her life. Would you leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, in the name of your holy passion and death and resurrection, we ask for your blessing through the intercession of St. Catherine of Siena, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father Todd Lloyd, Most Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church here in Baton Rouge, as always, thanks for coming in. We
thanks
enjoy
having
me.
You. Thank you all for having me. Love it.
We'll see you at Mass real soon.
Studio. Yeah. I really like that when you come visit us here. Sure. So.
You bet. Yeah. Okay. Well, don't go too far because the one and only Alan Migliorato, who's always here on a Monday, will be with us, Failing Forward author, and he will be chatting about what we can do to help out our teens. Right now, it's 30 after the hour on this Monday morning, and we got major weather coming this way. If you're just waking up, be ready, because about 11 o'clock in the Baton Rouge area, we're going to get a downpour. We've got more on Wake Up.
Thanks for being with us. It is half past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. And our next guest is Alan Migliorato. Alan is a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And he joins us on Mondays to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Today, we are focusing on forgiveness. Hey, Alan, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, forgiveness, sometimes this can be something that's quite difficult to do, but how do we get our teens to kind of, understand this concept, and I think in turn us as well?
Oh my gosh, it's so easy to forgive, isn't it? I say that sarcastically. But here's the thing, I think it's a sticky thing, like what does it mean to forgive, and sometimes we categorize forgiveness with a bunch of other things that's almost impossible for us to do at times. For instance, like when we think of forgiving people, a lot of times we have feelings-based forgiveness. So in other words, you say you're sorry for hurting me and I have to get rid of my anger or my hurt right away to forgive you. But if we have that view of forgiveness, if we have that feelings-based view of our faith, it can be dangerous because we have anger for a reason, right? There's righteous anger. Mm-hmm. You can be angry with somebody for being hurt, but to forgive them when they ask for forgiveness is an obligation, really, of us to do. Because if we think of, like, the way that Jesus tells us to forgive, he says, you know, even in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if we are going to be forgiven in heaven the same way that we forgive others on earth, some of us are going to be in trouble, right? Because, and we included at times, because when someone says, I'm sorry, we need to accept that apology, right? We need to accept, mm-hmm. I accept your apology, but where it gets cloudy is we often think, I have to have those same warm feelings I had toward you before you hurt me. And that's not true. It's just not true. We don't have to feel all warm and fuzzy. We don't have to poop rainbows to forgive somebody. I'm sorry, I probably can't say that, can I?
Yeah, you did. Well, I did. It's okay.
So, I did say it. And it's probably not the first or the last. We don't have to be floating on the cloud to forgive someone. And so what does it mean? Well, to will the good of the other is to love them, right? So we really want that person to not... to know, like, look, I don't wish any evil upon you. I don't have any bad feelings towards you. I can't think of the correct, like, the classy word to say. I just don't want you to have anything bad happen with you. But it doesn't mean that I'm not still hurt. So that's a confusing thing for adults, for teens, you know, and it's oftentimes it's a big stumbling block to us saying we forgive someone.
Right. And I think as adults, it gets a little bit more, well, we like to make it a little bit more complicated, and sometimes it is. But do you think it's appropriate, Ellen, to say, for especially those who really hurt us, maybe it's a family member, a really close friend, to say, hey, I forgive you right now, but give me some time to process exactly what just took place? Because a lot of the times it's going to take time, and we kind of need to ask the Lord to kind of chisel away those hard parts in our heart, to kind of understand what real forgiveness is and how we can truly process what went on with that person.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's here's where it gets tricky. Do we forgive someone who doesn't want to be forgiven? Do we forgive someone who isn't sorry, right? Or do we go on holding that grudge? And if we think about, you know, we've had that unconditional forgiveness kind of drilled into us as Catholics and as Christians. So really, if you think about God wants us to repent, right? John the Baptist preaches repentance. Jesus preaches repentance. Peter, in the book of Acts, preaches, look, repent and you know, turn away from your sins and follow Christ. You know, admit that Jesus is the Christ, but you need to repent of your sins. Why does Jesus tell us if your brother sins and he asks for and he repents, forgive him? Why does he tell us that? Mm-hmm. If in other words, does somebody need to ask us for forgiveness? And one would kind of be led to believe, yes, right? We do need somebody to ask for forgiveness, to actually repent before we forgive them. So if somebody in your family says, hey, I'm sorry for that, if they've humbled themselves to come to you and say, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean that you drop those feelings of being hurt. And I think it is very appropriate to say, I forgive you. It doesn't mean that we're going to go skipping through the daisies here. I'm going to need some time to process this. I'm going to need some, and not just people in your family, right?
Yeah.
So that can go for anybody. Yeah, I forgive you for what you did. It does not mean that it's okay. It doesn't mean that there's no justice that needs to, you know, just be forgotten, because that in itself would be sinful, right? To not have righteous anger. Jesus got righteously angry at times.
Yeah, she always.
Well, I wanted to circle back because you said grudges real quick. And I just remember in high school, these two girls would make us choose, and it would divide our friend group, which one we would be friends with, because they had a fight and they held grudges still to this day with each other. And it's still every time we get together, we kind of like circle back to that. But talk about grudges and our teenagers and how we can kind of find a solution through that, and how grudges is not really the answer with handling a situation, and how that links with forgiveness.
Well, yeah. Well, so what does it mean? Like, I forgive you, but when you keep doing it, it's kind of like an abusive situation for a child to be in. Like, they forgive their parents because their parents say, I forgive you for, you know, for harming you. Okay, I forgive you. But when that keeps happening, right, there's got to be a separation. So it may be time to kind of weed the garden, you know, like pull the weeds out of the garden and not surround yourself with people who are toxic. Because there are toxic friendships out there who think, I said I'm sorry, but I'm going to continue those actions every time. Listen, if you're going to continue those actions, I'm going to forgive you for the last time that you said you're sorry, but I need some space, and I can't be as close to you as we once were because you keep doing these things. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if you ask me 7 times, I'm going to forgive you 7 times. But it's also my duty not to put myself in the position to be harmed again, by the same way. So it doesn't mean we forget. It means that we are now prudent, and we're thinking of ways to protect ourselves. And maybe it's keeping more distance and not bringing that person into that close circle of intimacy that we save for our closest, you know, our closest people in our lives.
Do you think it's important to also understand that everyone forgives differently?
Well, yes, people do forgive differently, but I think that also goes back to like emotion-based forgiveness, you know? So like if we forgive, we allow that, look, I'm not allowing that action to happen again, but I do understand that not everyone's perfect, and I do forgive you for making that mistake, and I thank you for humbling yourself and coming to me and asking for my forgiveness. Yes, I forgive you. I will not let it happen again. So, you know, it's our duties, you know, to do that. So I don't know that how that looks differently for other people, but I'm sure that people take a longer time, you know, to get to that point. And sometimes when someone doesn't ask for forgiveness, like at some point we've got to let go of the anger on our side, you know, because it just kind of eats at us, and then it's harmful to us, and it just stays. They rent space in our hearts and our minds, and it just kind of eats away at us.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, this is some great information, not only we can take as adults, but also to communicate with our teens as well whenever they're going through some challenging times with friends or anyone that, you know, has harmed them in any way. But Alan, give us some details about how our listeners and viewers can maybe get in touch with you if they have further questions or take a look at exactly what you do with your books and your writings as well. You're on podcasts, radio shows, all over your listening area in Florida.
Yeah, check out AdventureCatholic.com. And first, forgive me if I've offended anyone over these shows. Rainbows.
You're forgiven. You're forgiven.
At some point.
I can't get that image out of my head, but you're forgiven.
No, but that's I keep saying it, so am I really forgiven? I keep doing
it's okay.
It. Yeah. AdventureCatholic.com.
We're good, Alan. You can come back on.
You see, there's a way of forgiveness. You got to be careful with Dave.
Alan, thank you so much. Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens. Stay at AdventureCatholic.com is where you can go and find out more information about him.
Take care.
Thanks, Alan. Okay. Dr. David Whitten is in the studio with David and Damien. He's a professor of theology over at FRANU in Baton Rouge. Stay with us. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I am David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And in our studio, we have Dr. David Whitten coming back to join us again. He's a professor of theology at FRANU, or Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. It's a lot easier to say FRANU.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Always glad to be here.
And I love when you come in because it's a topic just totally out of the blue, but it's awesome. So today's topic is the Catholic Church and the Jewish people.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Well, get
us started here.
Oh, goodness. Well, our culture's kind of gotten it started, right? We've been thinking a lot about this October.
Yes.
We're seeing all the protests.
Yeah.
And you know, you can read a lot, and sometimes you see a lot of young people either being confused or sort of ignorant of the situation. So I just thought I would just sort of bring to the table a little bit about what the Church teaches on this and how they think about that. And the text to read, if you get a chance, is a Vatican II document. It's a very brief one. It's called Nostra Aetate, means in our time.
Nostra
Aetate.
Aetate.
A-E-T-A-T-E.
Okay.
Okay. And they, you know, it was in the middle of Vatican II, they produced that. And of course, they were dealing with a very, you know, present reality to them. This is the mid-60s, just 20 years after World War II,
right,
of the fact that, you know, 6 million Jews had been slaughtered in the middle of what had supposed to have been sort of Christian Europe, right? So I always tell my students, you got to understand the context. Like, here you had 6 million dead Jews, and it's like they were sort of thinking, well, what went wrong?
Exactly.
Right? You know, this had been a sort of European problem for a long period of time. And so the Church has this really interesting document. It's really on the Church and other religions. And they start, you know, by talking about the fact that, you know, all humans are made in the image and likeness of God. They're made by God, and they're made for God, regardless of, you know, what religion they may follow, whatever. You know, Christians and Catholics have to believe that, you know, God made them all, and so we're to love all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, the way it gets into interreligious dialogue here is by talking about finding what we have in common that's good.
Yeah.
And the Church never rejects what's good in any religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it judges that, of course, is through Christ. Right? Mm-hmm. Christ's cross is the standard by which we judge what's good in other religions. So they talk about Buddhism, they talk about Hinduism, then they talk about Islam and talk about the good things that they find in Islam, for instance, on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, some of the same things that we see in Lent. So they work their way through, and then the biggest section is on the Jewish people. And you can sort of see that, like, they're setting up the table to talk about this.
Oh, okay.
And they're very, you know, very clear. You know, this both a complicated issue, but one that they're very clear. For instance, they say, I mean, I'll just read this slight, just like one sentence here. It says, in a rejection of every persecution against any man, so Christians aren't called to persecute anybody.
Right.
Right. The church, mindful of the patrimony she shares with the Jews and moved not by political reasons, so it's not a political issue. And so even though right now all this is taking place in a political context,
yes.
Right, the church isn't going to, you know, essentially take sides so much, but it's going to say, right, but it's the gospel's spiritual love to Christ's hatred, persecutions, displays of anti-Semitism directed against Jews at any time and by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the, you know, that's, if you will, the sort of the bottom line. And the way they work through this is by pointing out, you know, first of all, salvation came through the Jewish people.
If it wasn't, I mean, we are a continuation of the Jewish faith.
Right. Yes. They even advert to that verse from Paul where he talks about sort of the grafted on olive branch.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that, but you know, the patriarchs, the Old Testament fathers, the prophets all pointed to Jesus and the salvation. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus. And so, you know, I mean, and Jesus was a Jew.
Yes, exactly.
People
practicing his faith.
Right. Yes, I mean, one of my favorite passages is in Luke 4 where he gets up in a synagogue.
Yes.
And he reads Isaiah
mm-hmm.
and says, hey, you know, here, I've come to fulfill this, not to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you get that fulfillment language in Matthew a lot too. It's never either or. It's like, no, it's a continuation and fulfillment, it's a perfection
yeah.
then of the Jewish religion. And then the church goes on to point, right, that, you know, Jesus, through his ministry, and then especially through the work of Paul, united, instead of separated, the Jews and the Gentiles, right? So that right. what had been sort of a salvation for particular people now becomes universal. So we get added into that is part of the gift of Christ.
Right.
That the three of us sitting here wouldn't be saved otherwise.
Right, right.
Yeah, and we hear that from Gospel Today between right. Paul and Barnabas. Exactly. I mean, they did a great job of bringing the faiths together.
So yes. So what happened? You know, that's something I never understood. We, the Christian, and back in the day it was the Catholic Church, that church, okay, was a continuation of the Jewish faith. Where was the rift? What happened?
Oh man, that's complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, by the time we get to 1940, you know, 40,
oh, yeah.
we've got, you know, almost two millennia of history there.
Yeah.
So the relationship, I mean, so you'll see Augustine starting to struggle with this, and he's trying to figure out, well, you know, why did God either give us the Jews, and he has, I mean, there's been sort of a replacement theory that's been out there
okay.
That the church, I think, in many ways sort of rejects. Okay, so Augustine thought, well, maybe they were there to sort of, the Jews remained so that we could, I'm not an expert on this particular part of it, mm-hmm. so that to remind everybody of sort of about their failure. It wasn't a particularly fruitful way of going.
Oh, yeah. No.
There was a lot, so part of it as well is in the medieval period. So Christians weren't allowed to charge interest. To borrow and charge interest,
okay.
right? So
right.
What would happen politically is you'd have military leaders or kings who needed to borrow money. Well, they couldn't borrow it from Christians.
Okay.
And so they would borrow it from the Jewish people.
Okay.
And so that was all fine and good, and they would pay interest to the Jewish people. Well, then sometimes they didn't want to pay their loans. So what would they do? Well, they would just expel the Jews from their country.
Oh, my goodness.
It was like the ultimate loan default. Right.
Goodness like we're,
so yeah, well, I mean, so sometimes there was political and financial reasons.
It sounds like what you're saying here is the riff has nothing to do with our beliefs and our love for each other. It has to do. It's all politics once again. And
well, I mean, I think there were some theological movements that again I would say were unfruitful.
Yeah.
And then with the Nazis, I mean, one of the things that was really interesting is in the 19th century. Was they were starting to do biblical scholarship. One of the things that they tried to do was de-Jewishify. That's not a real word,
yeah,
but de-emphasize or show that Jesus wasn't a Jew.
Because
it's a really hard to be anti-Semitic when your Lord is Jewish.
Exactly right. And how do you say he was not?
Well, they had their ways, but by doing that, right, it made it possible then for them to either continue thinking of themselves as Christians. And of course, Hitler was he was anti-Catholic mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to forget that there was
true.
1,000 priests in Dachau.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So right. they had their own section, and they killed a bunch, at least they didn't kill as many of the German priests, but they killed almost all the Polish priests.
Goodness gracious. All right, look, we got to continue this conversation. So you got to come back because I think we're just touching on this. So, man, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
I appreciate
yeah, definitely.
That.
Definitely. So. Yeah. Need to get you maybe have a whole half hour segment.
Yeah, I know. There's a whole lot to us. Dr. David Whitten, thanks once again for joining us.
My pleasure.
Come back and join us in the studio. Damien?
Okay. We're going to wrap up with a prayer, as we always do, on this particular Monday, feast day of St. Catherine of Siena. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Draw into me by your power, O my God. Preserve me. O beautiful love, from every evil thought, warm me, inflame me with your dear love, and every pain will seem light to me. My Father, my sweet Lord, help me in all my actions. Jesus, love, Jesus, love. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director, for a wonderful show today. Have a great Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.